We're going to continue the study in the Lord working in the various stages of the lives of His people. One of them is, of course, Jacob. And that is in Genesis chapter 31. And we're going to, by the help of the Lord, finish that chapter today. We had already gotten a part of chapter 31 done. We're going to begin our reading of Genesis chapter 31 at verse 19. And we trust that the Lord will help us as we read and hear today, that we would profit much for our lives, personally, and for our families. Genesis 31:19. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had. And he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. Remember, Jacob had sheep 3 days' journey away being kept by his sons. And when he took that journey, it took the messenger 3 days to get to him to tell him Jacob was gone. Well, Jacob had told him long before he wanted to leave, so it wasn't a terrible surprise. Verse 23, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? And what hast that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? And didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take heed, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease thee, my lord, that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth, and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children, which they have borne? Now therefore, come thou, and let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sehadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Amen. We know the Lord will, according to his word, bless the reading of his holy truth. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks and praise for the privilege that we have of considering thy truth. Oh, how thou hast blessed our land with the open Bible. We thank thee for our history, that our history is filled with the blessing of the Lord. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw near to us now. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that thou wilt come and give enabling to the preacher. Come and give enabling to each of us to hear thy word. We pray that the word would have free course and be glorified. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt make this word a saving word, a sanctifying word, a reviving word for thine own eternal glory. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I have realized, having read the scriptures, that we have a first-time visitor. And who is this young man? Very good. Well, we are glad to welcome Daniel. Okay, I'm a deaf old man, so we're glad you can be here today. All right, we're going to think of this portion that we have read. Of course, we're going to skim this portion we've read, quite a long portion from verse 19 all the way to 55. A picture is worth a thousand words. Little children, have you noticed how they love picture albums and picture books? Little Lily, Jacob and Kelly's daughter, loves her animal book. And those animals remind her of the animals in Grandpa's barn. So every time she comes, she says, animals, meaning she wants to go to the barn. Well, the children love these books with pictures. They don't spend much time with books that just have words in them. But as adults, we don't have to see the pictures because we enjoy these books without pictures, since we have our memories filled with so many pictures. We can practically visualize what's being said in the words of the book. Well, I have to make a confession today that I still have much of the little child in me. I know my wife could probably confess that's true. I've never really grown up. I still love the picture books. I love the pictures, especially about those books with pictures of history, nature, and family. Now, this causes me to immensely enjoy the book of Genesis, because Genesis is so filled with pictures, types, that provide spiritual lessons. Jacob's life is one of those lives that presents so many lessons in pictures. His life is interesting and instructive. Just think about Jacob for a moment. To save his life from the one who hated him, God led Jacob to a strange country, Padan Aram. And while there, Jacob labored faithfully and strenuously as an old shepherd. He was an older man then. He was there laboring long under the burning sun and under the frost at night. He was laboring hard to win a bride and then to build his family. In his experience we've read of today, he was falsely accused by his deceiver uncle, Laban. But God, as his hand was on Jacob, his chosen servant, Jacob triumphed over all of his enemies. Now, Jacob, you remember, had a favorite son. He made him a coat of many colors. That son's name was Joseph. And I would say to you, he had much the same experience that his father had. His life was saved from those in his household that hated him and would have killed him. His life was saved by his going down into Egypt, another strange land. And there, Joseph's faithful labors, even as we read later on in Genesis 49, he was something like the shepherd of Israel. There, through his faithful labors, he was enabled to save his whole family from certain death by famine. And there, Joseph, too, was falsely accused by a deceiver. That time it was a woman, Potiphar's wife. As God's chosen servant, Joseph triumphed over all his enemies. But Jacob had another son. His most famous son was our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ had much the same experience that Jacob and Joseph had. Very early in his earthly life, he had to flee from one that would kill him. And they went out of the promised land down into the strange country of Egypt. And they stayed there for a time. By our Lord's faithful labors and by his vicarious death, the shepherd of Israel laid down his life for the sheep, saving all of his people. And while in this wicked world, He too was accosted by the deceiver, and he was addressed by the deceiver in the wilderness in a very wicked and false way. Have you ever noticed what the deceiver said to him? If thou be the Son of God. The devil knew better than that. But he was endeavoring to try to sow some kind of doubt. He had sowed doubt in the mind of Eve so long before, and he hasn't changed his ways. He still likes to sow doubt in our minds. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. Isn't it interesting that the devil's theology is a theology of Christian perfectionism? He believes that if we were genuinely Christians, we would not sin at all, it seems. Well, Christ, like Jacob and Joseph, as God's elect chosen one, triumphed gloriously over all his enemies. And he is now exalted high over all. Well, this morning, we are finishing this 31st chapter. And we conclude our encounter with this man, Laban. And I want to point out three things about Laban that I think are very clear in this chapter. First of all, Laban's chasing. He was chasing Jacob. Laban's chasing. Then Laban was confounded. He went to do something he was not able to do. And then Laban's conviction. It's obvious there was a change of tone toward the end of the chapter there. So first of all, Laban's chasing. We read that on the third day he got word. And immediately he raised some troops. He chased Jacob in two ways. He chased Jacob with his troops and then with his tongue. So first of all, with his troops. In verses 22 to 25, we read it was told Laban on the third day Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. So Laban mustered into service his sons and all of his kin that he could get together. And he went forward with a vengeance. It took 10 days of hard and hot pursuit for Laban to catch up with Jacob. And Laban was pursuing his nephew, much like Pharaoh later pursued Jacob's offspring. And Laban was something like Pharaoh. He was a tyrant. He was a persecutor. Well, here came Laban, determined either to get vengeance or to bring back into bondage his servant Jacob with all that wealth that had gone with him. You know, bad men seem to go to great lengths, to go to great trouble, to go to great pains to do their evil. And even more so than good men often do to serve the Lord. Well, Laban was full of rage against Jacob. But on the night before he actually spoke with Jacob, he had an encounter with the living God. In a dream, the Lord confronted Laban about his son-in-law. And Laban was in that visit that night by the Lord. He was warned not to even speak good or bad to Jacob. Now, that's most interesting because if you go back to chapter 24 and verse 50, a long time before Laban had spoken those very words, when it was obvious that it was God's divine will for Rebekah to go and be Isaac's bride, what did Laban say in chapter 24, verse 50? It proceeds from Jehovah. We can't speak either bad or good. It's very interesting that he was brought to see this fact that he could not prevail against God. Once again, Almighty God had revealed his will, and Laban was restrained by the Lord from what he wanted to do to his son-in-law. Laban was a pagan, but he dared not to raise his hand against Jacob. He had chased Jacob with his troops, but now he couldn't use his force. So he decided to use his tongue. He chased Jacob now with his tongue. Verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, "What hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword." Oh, yes. You've taken your captives away. Well, he was absolutely wrong because he had given those girls to Jacob. And they were not exactly given. They were worked for. Jacob had worked for them for 14 years, he said. He had worked hard. And if you go back earlier in the chapter, they desired to be with Jacob. They did not go by force. They were not forced to go. They willingly went with Jacob, and they did not want to be with their father because they couldn't trust him. In verse 27, he dares to say, "Why have you done this? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? You have deceived me." Well, what had Laban been doing for the last 20 years? He had been deceiving Jacob over and over and over again. Not only about his daughters, but about his wages, about everything. He dared to say, "You've deceived me." He said, "Oh, if you had only told me, I would have sent you away with singing, with a party. We would have had a wonderful time." Well, here is a mark of Laban's apostasy. Because what had happened when his sister went away 120 years before, when Rebekah went away, what did the family do? The family sent her away with prayers and with blessings. Now the spiritual decay in Laban was very evident. The family was no longer serious. They could not be serious. They were wholly given to idolatry, and they could only be giddy and sing and dance when the family went away, rather than to commit them to the Lord as they had been done before. Laban was actually projecting his own evil ways and his own motives onto his son-in-law. "You deceived me." And you know, bad men oftentimes do that. Bad men think that everyone else is just like they are. And even the Lord said that about people in the Word. He said, "You thought I was just like you." And just realize that. Everybody doesn't have the same motives. Now, Laban, who had not shown any natural affection toward his daughters in the years past, now pretends, "Oh, I want to kiss my daughters. I want to kiss my grandchildren. I want to show this affection, you know." Well, it's strange that he hadn't been doing that before. Laban dared to charge Jacob with having done foolishly in verse 28. At the end of that verse, he said, "Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing." Now, wait a minute. Slow down, Laban. Be very careful here, because it was God who told Jacob to leave. So in saying that Jacob had been very foolish, the Lord had told him to return to his kindred. And Jacob made it very clear that he believed his father-in-law would have used force to keep him there if he had let him know that he was leaving. Well, he was called foolish. Laban dared to charge Jacob with foolishness. And you know, wicked men oftentimes condemn the things that they can't comprehend. Laban was so full of himself that he couldn't help. Even though he couldn't use his troops against Jacob, he wanted to do some boasting. So he began to talk about his power in verse 29. "It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Now, I know I'm your old uncle, but I could hurt you today." And isn't it something how wicked men like to think themselves strong and menacing? They love to talk about hurting others. Have you been around people like that? "I'll hurt you." This is what he was saying. But God we must remember, has all wicked men on a chain. They can only go as far as he will let them go. Wicked men like to boast and say what they will do, but only if God lets them. And here this wicked man is allowed to say something, but he's not allowed to hurt anybody. Lastly, Laban accused Jacob of being a thief in verse 30. He says at the end of that verse, "Yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? You've stolen my gods." How utterly foolish Laban was to, in front of all those people, admit his stupidity of actually giving worship to idols. "Here are my teraphim. You've got them. And you've stolen them. My gods are gone." Well, how worthless idols are that they can't even protect themselves from being stolen. Yet people worship such worthless garbage. Now, you think about that. Idolatry. It is very, very crazy. It's very illogical. Well, we've watched Laban chasing. Now, secondly, see Laban confounded. Verse 31 down through verse 42. Verse 31. "And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me." And would you believe for a moment that Jacob wouldn't use that force? After all, he had brought the force with him. He wanted to use it, and he certainly would have kept Jacob there. Well, Laban was confounded by two things. He was confounded by his not finding, and then secondly, by his being found out. By his not finding, he was greatly distressed because of his idols. Now, if he's that distressed over his idols, they were pretty important to him. He obviously loved them and not the Lord that he sometimes talked about. His was the religion of the natural man. And what is the religion of the natural man? The natural man loves to worship what he can see, what he can touch, what he can hold, those things that he can possess. So this poor man, by his distress and by his confession, Laban let it be known that he did not worship the living God. He only called the living and true God the God of your father. He's not my God. He's the God of your father. By his wicked example, Laban had wrongly influenced Rachel. In the home where Rachel had grown up, what did she see? She saw idolatry. And now Laban made a diligent search. He goes through the tents. Isn't it interesting how there are some people that are very concerned about searching out other people's sins, but they're usually very slow to search their own hearts for sin? Well, Rachel had seen her father's example, and she dared to steal those darkened objects. She dared to even touch them without smashing or destroying them. Well, how sad. Laban was confounded by not finding his idols, and then by being found out by Jacob's words. Jacob left for fear of force, he says. And then Jacob got mad. Here is Laban going through all their stuff as though it were his. And Jacob got mad and he told Laban off. Notice there in verse 36. And Jacob was wroth. That means he was angry. And he chode with Jacob. He had some hot words for his uncle Laban. Jacob really went a little too far and said a little too much. Some of the things he said were right, but Jacob spoke in that defense against Laban. He spoke one thing when he should have restrained himself. He spoke rashly in verse 32. He said, "With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live." Now that was a very strong thing he was saying. I know he was mad. He was sick and tired of what his uncle was doing. But like Jephthah, Jacob spoke rashly. Remember how Jacob said, what Jephthah said, whatever comes to me at the door of my house, I'm going to give as an offering to the Lord. And who was it? It was the one dearest to him on earth. It was his daughter. And now, shortly after Jacob makes this imprecation, what did he say? He said, whoever you find it with, let him die. I would like for them to be dead. Didn't Jacob shortly after that remember those words? Because his darling wife, Rachel, shortly after that died in childbirth. So we have to be very careful with our tongues and not speak rashly, not speak too fast. You know, the sins that we oftentimes have the worst time with are the sins of our words. And of any member of the human body that God's word speaks about the sins of, this one right here, the tongue. The tongue is spoken of so often in Scripture and the wrong use of it. Well, Jacob let Laban have it. He said, I took all the losses for 20 years. I followed the golden rule as an employee. Now, that's good. He did follow the golden rule as an employee. He treated the things that belonged to his uncle, his employer, as though they were his own. He watched carefully for them so that his uncle not suffer loss. That was good. But his uncle did not treat him the same way with the same golden rule. It's good that Jacob followed that, but his uncle did not. It's right for employers to follow the golden rule as much as it's right for employees to follow the golden rule. Because his uncle made Jacob restore things that he didn't even need to restore. His uncle was a wicked, wretched boss for all those years. And Jacob makes it very clear, if God had not been with me while I was working for you all those years, I would have come away with nothing. Look at verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. I wouldn't have had anything. Well, we come lastly to Laban convicted. Verses 43 to the end of the chapter. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children my children. These cattle are my cattle. All that thou seest is mine. He's run out of any defenses. And Laban knew that Jacob spoke the truth. Laban still had something of a conscience. And being a man of many words, before they heaped up a pile of stones, they heaped up a pile of more words. He said, all this is mine. And worldly men like to boast of what is theirs, because possessions of worldly men lie very close to the heart. And some of those things are idols. Human nature is basically idolatrous. Human nature is basically covetous. And what is coveting? It is, the apostle tells us, it is idolatry. This man was very proud. He said, it's all mine. But he was dead wrong. It was not his. God had given it all to Jacob. Now, having been confounded in his endeavor to find what he was looking for and even to speak with his son-in-law, he was convicted in his heart. And Laban actually, at this point, suggested something very good. Is this Laban speaking? It certainly was. What did Laban say? Laban said, in verse 44, now therefore come thou. Let us make a covenant. We are going to make a covenant. So this is good. He knew that Jacob and God had gotten the best of him. He had lost. So he said, let's make a covenant. And Jacob readily agreed. Now that's good. Although Laban would not admit he had been wrong, he would not ask Jacob to forgive him. He would not make any kind of restoration. Yet Jacob was willing to humble himself and make peace with this man. Now that's good. That was a very good mark of godly character. Here this man had done him wrong, and he is willing to enter into a covenant with him without this man making everything right. Wow. Remember our church covenant? We are to be slow to take offense, but quick to make reconciliation. You know, God loves to see in us the imitation of His mercy. And Jacob was showing mercy to his poor, benighted uncle. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at this covenant just a moment. What is this? What kind of covenant is this? What are the stipulations of it? He says, we're going to have this covenant because I want to make sure that you're going to treat my daughters right. Verse 50. He says, I'm going to have this as a watchtower between us. Verse 49. And here's what we're going to watch out for. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. He said, you've got to treat my daughters right. Now, there was nothing to indicate that Jacob was in any way unfaithful to his wives. They wanted to follow him. It wasn't Jacob's idea to get two wives. That wasn't his idea. That was his uncle's. So he didn't want to go look for any more wives. Laban was not a good man himself. So he naturally suspected, you know, Jacob will probably treat his wives like I treat mine. Well, the second stipulation of the covenant was there was to be no hostility toward each other. Verse 52, this heap be witness and this pillar be witness that I will not pass over this heap to thee and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Well, you can be sure Jacob would agree with that because he was doing the chasing anyway. He didn't want to go back where he had been. He was glad to get away. So this was, in some senses, a one-sided thing. But Jacob had no desire to go back where Laban was. So they had this monument, a pillar with stones set up. Verses 45 and 46. They took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they made a big pile. The pile of stones was so great, they could all sit on them and eat when they got ready to eat. Well, this covenant had some other marks of a covenant about it. Now Jacob says, not only will we have this monument, we're going to have a sacrifice. Verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. The sacrifice was made. The feast was made. And the covenant was sworn. The covenant was named. Jacob swore by the God of his father Isaac. But there's something very interesting about Laban. Laban, however, was an idolater, remember? And as an idolater, he had a great desire to appeal to antiquity. He said, let's go back as far as we can. We want, you know, to find the religion of our forefathers. So Laban was saying, I'll go back to the most ancient form of my religion. And what does he do? Verse 53, Laban swears, the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge betwixt us. Jacob did not swear by that one or those gods. Because we're told in Joshua chapter 24 that those gods were idols that Abraham, Terah, and Nahor had worshipped back on the other side of the Euphrates. They were idols. And Jacob would not worship and swear in the name of such idols. Jacob swore by the living and true God. But Laban, like a good papist, was fond of antiquity and religion. Lots of people are fond of antiquity. Even in the scripture, remember the Gibeonites. They were very fond of their worn out shoes and their moldy bread. One Roman Catholic asked a Protestant one day, "Where was your religion before Martin Luther?" The Protestant thought for a moment, and he says, "My religion before Martin Luther was right there in the Bible, where yours never was." Well, Laban and Jacob made their peace with one another. They had their farewells, and they parted never to meet again. But what has all this to do with you and with me? I believe that the fact that Jacob was protected and provided for by God Almighty, the covenant-keeping God, teaches us that if we are indeed the children of God by faith in Christ, that the special care and the special providence of God guarantees our preservation and our protection from every enemy and from evil. We were singing about that in our last song before the message. Unnumbered comforts to my soul, thy tender care bestowed. Another version says, before my infant heart conceived, from whom those blessings flowed. You think of that, how often God has protected us. Hundreds and thousands of times, and most all of the time, we are unconscious of the fact that the Lord is protecting us from harm. Not just protecting us from death or disease, but protecting us from spiritual enemies as well. I know our Brother Jerry can look back on a week or so ago and thank the Lord that when his truck ran off the road and he blacked out, that his truck didn't, hit some big tree and hurt him. So the Lord, his providential care is over us. And what a blessing it is to know that. We can rest in his care. Now, Laban was worried about his puny, helpless idols. In verse 30, he said, "You've stolen my gods." They were indeed his gods, what he worshipped. If your trust is in Christ, then you can rejoice in his power. He cannot be lost. He cannot be stolen. He cannot be taken from you. But Laban was seeking his gods. Our God cannot be lost or stolen. But our God can be sought, and we ought to seek him every day. For he says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I say to you today, if you have never sought him, then you need to seek him now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What does that imply? While he may be found. There is coming a time when you will not be able to find him. Another lesson that we learn from this portion. Jacob served Laban for many hard years. The first 14 of those years, he did all that hard labor to become the son-in-law of such a man. And if he would give that much diligence to becoming Laban's son-in-law, how diligent we should be to make our calling and election sure. How diligent we should be to make for certain that we are indeed the sons of God. Much better to be a child of God than to be a son-in-law to Laban. We began today with pictures, with types. This portion closes with more types and pictures. We've just concluded. We've just read that. It's very interesting. There was a covenant proposed by Laban. It was ratified by Jacob's sacrifice, and it was commemorated by a feast as they all sat on that big pile of stones. You know, the same thing happened in Egypt a while later. God covenanted with Moses, and he made him a promise to deliver his people. And when the Lamb of sacrifice, the Passover lamb was slain. Then the people feasted on his roasted flesh. And it is the same with us today and will be next Sabbath evening. We will remember that covenant that God made before the foundation of the world. And in the fullness of time, the sacrifice was made by the Lamb of God. And we have the privilege of commemorating the Lamb's victory in the feast of the Lord's Supper. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks. We praise Thee for what Thou hast revealed to us of human nature and even of Thy providential care of Thine own elect people in the book of Genesis. Lord, we thank Thee even for this bad example to show us how not to live. How not to have a feeble trust in a worthless idol. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace, that we would give all diligence to seek the Lord our God, to follow Thee day by day and step by step. And Lord, we pray for those who do not have peace with God. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt even in Thy great mercy cause lost souls to seek Thee in this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.